Thank you for coming. We are gathered today to remember and celebrate the adventurous and creative life of Lisa Daugherty. Lisa requested that this occasion be as upbeat and positive as possible. She hoped that there would be art, dance, classical music, and friends, and so this is what we have. For those of you who don't know me, my name is James, and Lisa is my aunt. I've been coming up to Weston, Connecticut from New York City to visit Lisa since I was a child in the 1970s. Typically, my mom, my father, and I would come up for a holiday or for one of Lisa or Charlie's openings, followed by drives to the beach, through the country, and candlelit dinners at home, and inevitably, lengthy studio visits with Lisa and Charlie. Lisa has always been an enormous source of inspiration to me. Before I attended art school out in Amherst, Lisa introduced me to a world of color and art. She introduced me to a range of eclectic materials. She was really the first experimental artist who I ever met in person. My father, who was Lisa's brother, was also an artist, and so was Angel, Lisa's daughter, a very, very brilliant and talented artist and craftswoman who made incredibly colorful, gigantic handmade quilts. And of course, Charlie, Lisa's husband, and James Daugherty, Charlie's father, a very important modernist painter. My visits to Connecticut to see this fascinating and unusual family, and what seemed at the time to a kid from New York, like the boonies out here in rural Connecticut, it was more rural at that time, made an enormous life-altering impression upon me. Lisa was deeply inspired by the vibrant creative scene that pulsated through her home up here, which was filled with frequent dinner parties, boisterous gatherings, art collaborations, and amazing conversations about art, traveling, history, politics, and everything else. I'll never forget hearing Carlos Dyer talk about hanging around with Salvador Dali, whose retrospective he designed at the Museum of Modern Art during one of Lisa and Charlie's Christmas parties. Fast forward a few years to my college years, and thereafter, whenever I would come up to visit Lisa, she and I would get lost in long, intense, and spiraling conversations about her artwork, the meaning, the concept, inspiration behind it, how she would title and exhibit her work, and how she would strategically place every element in the gallery. Frequently, these conversations revolved around myths and stories, and the fate, storylines, and emotional lives of the many heroes and heroines who would appear in her work, like apparitions or projections from Greek and Italian history, the Bible, and from mythology. She wove in narratives from two other sources, our family's complex and turbulent history, and her own personal life experiences. Lisa was profoundly influenced by a decision made by my grandfather, who, when she graduated from high school, around 1933, did not allow Lisa to enter college, unlike my father, who had the privilege of attending Yale. Lisa was kept instead close at home, away from the dangers of the world, and very much against her free and curious and wandering spirit. Lisa's frustration with this decision, which never receded, and to which she and I spoke about as recently as last March, subsequently drew her towards the plight of underdogs, historical figures who challenged the status quo of their time. Lisa possessed a fierce determination to overcome obstacles, as if to prove to her father that she was capable of enduring the challenges of the world on her own terms. And naturally, these experiences influenced her artwork, usually in subtle and indirect ways. Sometimes Lisa would make these narratives and stories visible within her pieces, for example, through the titles of her work, such as Shrine to the Left Eye, which was about her own body, or by embracing representational imagery, but mostly she obscured these rich stories within abstractions, geometries, and especially within oceans of pulsating, interactive, and dancing color. I want to mention, for the benefit of those who might not know, that Lisa was prolific in an astonishing array of different art-making mediums, demonstrated here, including metal shrines and constructions using industrial materials, giant silk banners, paintings made in different styles, experimental jewelry, including jewelry made to be worn by dancers, oversized woodcut prints, drawings, large painted fans, constructions, decorative arts, and sculpture. Many people don't know that Lisa made handmade plastics herself, and I should say that it's not necessarily normal to spend hours upon hours upon hours every day in a small airless basement by herself, creating large handmade plastic resin sculptures. This was a very risky process. Very few people were doing this, even in New York. I'm dwelling on her art because I believe that Lisa's work, while it may have been published, reviewed, collected, and exhibited, still needs to be evaluated more closely within an art historical context. In a sense, I feel that Lisa, in spite of her substantial successes, is still yet to be fully discovered. And the main reason for this is that Lisa was fiercely devoted to the community of artists who thrive here in Fairfield County. One day, a few years ago, on one of our many drives to the beach, shortly after Charlie's death, I asked Lisa why she never put more energy into showing her substantial body of artwork in New York, which is so close to Fairfield County. And she said that she was more concerned with the local arts community here. She felt deeply connected to this region, and she felt connected and energized and inspired by her many, many good friends, and by her fulfilling life at home on Broad Street in Weston, and to the water, and to swimming, and that she enjoyed being near, but not directly in the city. Finally, I want to propose that those of us who are gathered here, who Lisa adored and cherished in this very, very special place, which Lisa also cherished, consider how we could keep Lisa's vision alive. And to this end, I have a suggestion. Please consider joining the Friends of Lisa Doherty, a group that will champion Lisa's art in the years forward, and that will form on the basis of your participation. If you are interested, you could sign up. There is a handmade sheet by the door when you came in, and that is it. Thank you very much.